Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Roger Jones. We kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, Brother Jones will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Jones, you are on the air.
Good morning and welcome to Words of Encouragement. It is once again that the God of heaven has allowed us to awake out of the sleep and slumber of the night to see another day that we've never seen before and to allow the golden moments and the wrinkly threads of our lives to roll on just a little bit further. And for that, we ought to be eternally grateful that we serve such a gracious God to allow us to see this day. We're in James chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. On last week, we concluded with 2 points. We're talking about 5 things that showing partiality does to us and against other people. Number one, we showed that partiality sets us up as judges of men. We have no right to judge men unjustifiably without it being righteous judgment based on facts. And James said, therefore, when we show partiality, we're saying who God accepts and who God doesn't accept, and what we're saying, we don't accept them. He says, partiality shows evil thoughts, verse 4. And now we come to point number 3. Partiality, showing partiality discriminates against the poor and lowly, a people who are loved by God, verse number 5. This verse is not saying that God does not love and care for the rich and high. He does. But he also cares and loves the poor and lowly. And history shows that God has chosen the poor and lowly to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom. For those of us who compare ourselves among ourselves and we look at what other people have and what we don't have, we shouldn't do that, because God's love is just as great for those of us who are broke, those of us who are struggling, as well as those who have and are wealthy. God, in fact, God have been the very one who have found so much hope in those who are of lowly and meek estate, and those who are poor and lowly have found hope in the gospel and have turned to it in great numbers. Therefore, they are not to be discriminated against. Believers are not to shun them nor shut them out of the church. Listen to David in Psalms 12, verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth up at him. God says in his word that those of us who show partiality against those that are less fortunate than we are, those that are poor and lowly, those who have been oppressed, those whose needs have not been met by their fellow man and their brothers and sisters in Christ, God said, I will arise. I will set him. Him is the poor, the oppressed, in safety from him that puffeth up at him. Again, in Psalm 14, in verse number 6, the psalmist said, ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. God is the refuge of those who are lowly and poor. God does not base his love upon mankind because of what he has or what he does not have. He bases his love because he wants all men to be saved and not willing that any should perish. That's why God is so long-suffering and allowing people opportunity after opportunity to get it right with him. Then in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, as shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. So when we discriminate against those that are poor and lowly, we're discriminating against a people that God loves dearly. Number 4, partiality shows a disgraceful attitude. Listen to James chapter 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? It dishonors, humiliates, shames, disgraces, and insults the poor and lowly person. That's what partiality does. Just think of the hurt and pain within the heart of the person who is publicly discriminated against them, the pain and hurt when he sees he's shunned, bypassed, ignored, and even withdrawn from. No believer is to ever make a person feel unwelcomed or of little value and worth. There are no big chiefs and little Indians in the large kingdom. We're all on the same playing field that is leveled for all of us. Believers are to have open hearts and arms, welcoming everyone into their lives, their homes, their churches. Believers are to live as Christ lived, to love and care for all and to reach out for all. Now, I'm not ignorant of the fact that we have to be cautious to whom we let into our homes, our lives, and even our churches. Some people are ill-willed people. They have no God conscience. They have no conscience in killing, maiming, or destroying. And so we have to use some wisdom in who we let into our home, because people are dangerous. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 3, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit are those who realize that they are bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt. They have nothing to offer to God that will appease God for their sins. Unto all of us, elders, deacon, preachers, members in particular, realize that we are bankrupt. I don't care how much money we have in the bank, what kind of cars we drive, what kind of homes, houses we live in, what kind of clothing and jewelry we wear. We are spiritually bankrupt when it comes to appeasing God and atoning to God for our sins. We have to come to the point in life that we realize that, and when we realize that all of us are spiritually bankrupt, then we'll be less likely to show partiality. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 5, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus says in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 6, Then said I, "Wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard." And last but not least, showing partiality shows foolish behavior. Two things are said about the rich that need to be heeded. Number one, the rich and high usually oppress the poor, and they readily grab what they can, using the very laws of the land to do it. The ideal is that they use the law unjustly in order to protect and increase their wealth and power. Number two, the rich and high usually blaspheme the name of Christ. They blaspheme his name by denying and mocking, ridicule, persecuting, neglecting, and ignoring and rejecting him as the Savior of the world. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse number 7, as we close, If there be among you the poor, a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother. How many times have you heard this statement when we go visit people that are destitute, that are struggling, that are sick? If there's anything that I can do for you, just give me a call. And there's a sink full of dishes in the kitchen. There's stuff all over the floor. And we say, if there's anything that we can do for you, give me a call. Why not offer to clean the house? Why not offer to wash the dishes? Why not offer to go to the grocery store to pick up a few things for that individual? We should stop saying, if there's anything that I can do, just give me a call, and look for things to do to help those that are less fortunate than we. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, it is once again that we come with bowed heads and humble hearts, thanking thee for this opportunity. We trust and pray that things that we have said has been in harmony with your will. And if not, Father, that we've said things that are contrary to your will, out of harmony with your will, that someone will bring it to my attention, that I may correct it before it's eternal and everlastingly too late. Be with all that are on the call. Be with all the ministers that participate on this platform. We ask, Father, that you give us health and strength to walk worthy of the vocation wherein you have called us. Bless our families. Bless those of our family that have gone astray. Be patient with them, Father. Be long-suffering toward them that they may return before it's eternal and everlastingly too late. Go with us. Go ahead of us. In the furtherance of this day, help us to be mindful of how you want us to live, that we may bring glory and honor to your majestic name. And when this world will no longer afford us a home, we long to hear your welcoming voice say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now shall make thee rule over many. And now to the joys of our Lord, and that will be enough. We ask and give thanks in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.